This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 167 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Say it with me. Thanks for tuning in. I need to talk about trading and fantasy football. I get a ton of trade questions on Twitter each day. Sometimes they're pretty straightforward. Sometimes they're like, would you trade player X for players Y and Z? But other times the questions are something like, what kind of player should I try to get for this particular running back that I own? And that's not the way that you should be approaching trades in fantasy football. That's not the way that you get deals done outside of fantasy football either. Back in the day, I collected sports cards. I'm sure a lot of you guys did too. I used to get together with friends around my neighborhood regularly, and we would trade our cards. We'd open up our binders and boxes full of cards, and we'd do some deals. I had this Dan Marino card that was probably worth like $5 at the time, and I knew that I could get a comparable card that was worth about the same but of another player if I really wanted to. But at the same time, I also knew that one of my good friends in the neighborhood was a huge Dan Marino fan. And because of that, I knew that I could extract even more from his collection because he absolutely would value that Dan Marino card more than the average person. That's why in fantasy football, when you go to make a trade, a large part of getting a deal done is to give other league owners what they need. Offer up something that they need. If you're asking me what type of players you should trade David Johnson for, and I say that you should go and try to get Odell Beckham for him, and this is completely hypothetical for the record, but if you go and send an offer of David Johnson for Odell Beckham when that team that has OBJ also has Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon, why would that owner do that trade? Why would he sacrifice a top wide receiver and probably his best wide receiver starter for a player who will be added depth at the running back position? When you're making a trade in fantasy football, don't always just target specific players. Realistically, the number of players you should be willing to trade for in fantasy football should be large. It should not be small. I give you some ideas of players that you can look to buy in fantasy football in my 15 transactions column and podcast each week. But when you offer up trades for those players, don't give teams what they already have. Give them what they need. I just need to let that out before we get into this week's mailbag show. But before we do dig in, I wanted to remind you guys about NumberFire Premium. With NumberFire Premium, you can get awesome daily fantasy football tools, gambling predictions, and great premium content from NumberFire's awesome writers. All late-round podcast listeners get their first month of any level of premium access for just $9.99 with promo code CHAMPION. For more info, visit numberfire.com/premium. That's numberfire.com/premium. This first question is from at SBT1030, and it's related to trade strategy, so I figured that I'd answer it first now that our minds are on the topic. It says, you mentioned that you like to look at 0-2 teams in your league and make trade offers to them. If you're one of those 0-2 teams, what are you doing? Making those trades? Sending trade offers? Asking for a friend. All right, so first off, earlier this week, I sent a tweet out about targeting 0-2 teams and making trade offers to them. And the reason is because you're taking advantage of their desperation. They'll be more willing to trade because they need a change. A 2-0 team may not be willing to make moves because they're winning. They don't want to change things up. But if you're an 0-2 team, you probably do feel a little bit stuck. You more than likely don't have a ton of guys that you can easily get rid of, and that makes it hard to trade. So my advice is to look at the benches of other teams in your league. Some teams might have really good depth at certain positions. They might have players that they're not really using, but you could use. And those players on the bench are then going to be a lot easier to trade for because they're not all that significant on their current team. This next one's from at Cool Kof. Who is Kareem Hunt without receptions? Will he play up to his ADP? Should we be shopping him? I mentioned Kareem Hunt in this week's version of the report, which you guys can find on numberfire.com. It's a weekly column that I'm writing over there. But I shared similar concerns with Kareem Hunt. He's seen just 2 targets this year. And while the Chiefs haven't thrown the ball a lot volume-wise, that still equates to just a 3.6% target share. He's seeing 66% of Kansas City's carries, which is absolutely fine. That's great. But his target share is a little bit worrisome. I would not be selling him, though. And the main reason for that is because things are going to level out a bit with how the Chiefs are scoring touchdowns. So far this season, no team has more offensive touchdowns than the Kansas City Chiefs. But there have been 25 teams that have scored a rushing touchdown, and the Chiefs are not one of them. That's going to regress eventually. We may not see a fantastic split in favor of the rushing attack, but touchdowns on the ground should come for Kareem Hunt eventually. The reason they haven't thus far is because the Chiefs haven't been all that Kareem Hunt friendly at the goal line. They've run 8 goal line plays, which is the second most in football, but they have the highest pass-to-rush ratio within the opponent's 5-yard line this year. You could say that's a concern, and maybe it is a concern, but generally speaking, those types of things don't continue to be that extreme. We're dealing with small sample sizes here. I do think that there's some concern with Hunt's involvement in the passing game, but I think that can be canceled out a bit, not entirely, but at least a bit, by the positive touchdown regression that is coming his way. So I wouldn't be selling Hunt right now, especially considering the fact that the Chiefs are finally playing a home game, which should create a nice script for Kareem Hunt. This next question is from @GudgelDustin. Thoughts on Jordan Howard and Alex Collins after 2 weeks? Talent is there, but worried about play calling. Yeah, so I talked about Alex Collins a bit on my 15 Transactions podcast when going through the Buck Allen transaction, and the key point for him is that Allen is digging into Collins' ceiling as a receiver and a touchdown scorer. Allen actually has more goal line carries to start the year, and he's seen 8 more targets. Some will say the latter is a little bit fluky, but it's not entirely fluky considering how the Ravens have used Buck Allen since he entered the league. He's been a pass catcher. So there's definitely some worry there, at least for Collins' ceiling. I think he's an RB2 still, but I don't know if that's really saying much given the running back landscape. You can't really sell him right now, though, and I wouldn't advocate that you do sell him. Jordan Howard's a pretty interesting case right now because his peripheral numbers are completely fine. He ranks 15th in the NFL in rushing share, and he has over 13% of Chicago's targets so far this year. That ranks 17th among running backs. That combined is pretty good for a running back. He ranks 15th in rushing share and 17th in target share. That's not bad. We just haven't seen Jordan Howard find the end zone. Chicago's been at the goal line for 4 plays this year, and they've thrown on 3 of those plays, with the 4th one being a Mitch Trubisky run. Like I said with Kareem Hunt, that sort of split will regress. Howard's the goal line back in that offense, and he will eventually get some love there. The biggest concern with Howard that we don't have with Kareem Hunt is that the Bears have Mitch Trubisky, and he hasn't looked very good so far this year. If you've got an ineffective quarterback, that will just naturally lower the chances for a running back to thrive. But with Jordan Howard specifically, I'm not really concerned with play calling. His market share numbers are good enough. You just have to hope the offense overall gets a little bit better. This next one's from @PDXTroyBoy. Projections for Deion Lewis versus Derrick Henry rest of season. I somehow still believe Henry will improve as the line gets healthy. He flashed last year. Can't be a total dud, right? Right? I continue to talk about Derrick Henry on my podcast for a reason. I'm nervous as hell about his rest of season outlook. I mean, look at the peripheral numbers so far this year between Henry and Deion Lewis. Henry has seen 44% of Tennessee's carries. Deion Lewis has seen 48%. Henry has seen 1.7% of the team's targets. Deion Lewis has a 15% target share. Henry's played 36% of Tennessee's snaps. Deion Lewis has played 64% of them. Henry has 2 red zone attempts. Deion Lewis has 3. Henry has 1 goal line rush, and Deion Lewis also has 1 goal line rush. You can blame game script for this maybe a little bit, but I mean, it's not like Tennessee was completely blown out in week 1, and they won in week 2. And that's very scary for Henry's rest of season outlook, that if he is so sensitive to game script, then he's going to be a headache. Even though I think Derrick Henry is talented, this is why I had him as a sell candidate after week 1. This next one's from @HeBrews. What are some analytic reasons to drop a talented player? Example, Tariq Cohen. Tons of talent without production. What numbers are key to spot positive regression and valuable asset? So as we know, volume is what matters in fantasy football. The hope is that talented players end up seeing volume and seeing the field, but that doesn't always happen. And it's for a lot of reasons. Coaches might be irrational. The talent itself, the talent evaluation itself is subjective. Players may not be able to handle big workloads and so on. There's no one metric that will tell us when to drop a player. But this is why we're putting pieces together each week on the podcast that I'm doing and the analysis that I'm doing. We're looking at snap counts to see how these guys are being utilized. We're looking at target share and rushing share numbers. We're looking at team tendencies. So there's no single answer aside from the fact that volume is what matters in fantasy football. Your hope is always that talent leads to volume, but with someone like Tariq Cohen, he's not built to withstand a ton of work. That's not his game. He's one of those players that may just be better in real football than in fake football. This next question is from @KenIKH. Was Ito Smith's performance last week enough to reinforce your confirmation bias and retain your position atop Ito Truther Mountain? If not, what do you need to see? Yeah, I thought Ito Smith was really good last week. It was a strong outing for him. The thing is, though, is that obviously he's not going to see work when Devontae Freeman is back. but it's good to see a strong game from someone who could play a much bigger role next year if Tevin Coleman is no longer with the team. So yes, I'm still an Ito Smith truther. This next question is from @KunzCraig. Any suggestions for long-term stashes to put on my bench for later in the year? I think I have my starters and immediate backups set up for the next few weeks and have room for another player. Yeah, so I think that you just have to look at rookies. Tre'Quan Smith is still someone that comes to mind for me. He had a great preseason, and there was a quote from Sean Payton this week where he said, quote, "We've got to find ways to get him more touches. He's handling our installation. He knows what we're doing game plan-wise, and I think he's ready to prove that." Tre'Quan Smith is in a good offense, and there's really a top-heavy target distribution there. It's really just Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas. So there's room for someone to emerge in that passing attack as a receiver. Another player that popped in my head is Kerryon Johnson, who's been the best early down runner for Detroit this year. I don't understand how or why the Lions would want to trot LeGarrette Blount out there over and over again. There's a good chance that nothing comes out of Kerryon Johnson this season, but I don't think he's a bad stash. So I'd target rookies, but realistically, if you have a bench spot to burn, that's one of the times where I would start to look at handcuffs like Rod Smith. I don't draft handcuffs, but I'll add them to my roster as the season moves forward. This last question is from @JasonCWolf. Assuming you are living the stream and fell into Pat Mahomes, do you sell high for positional players? I'm absolutely someone who thinks that you should almost always sell quarterbacks for running backs and receivers. The return on Mahomes is really questionable, though, because it'll vary greatly from league to league. I'm in more casual leagues where owners overrate the crap out of quarterbacks, but I'm in others where Mahomes wouldn't get that much at all. And for what it's worth, I'm actually not playing it conservatively with Pat Mahomes, meaning I think Pat Mahomes is super, super legit. I think he should be considered an elite quarterback from here on out, even with regression obviously coming. I'm putting him in the Rodgers and Brady tier, or whoever you want to put at that top of the quarterback rankings list, because there's just so much upside with that Kansas City offense. But overall, I'm always, always willing to get good running back or wide receiver pieces for a quarterback in fantasy football. That's the last question, though. Thanks to everyone for listening. As always, if you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And make sure you're following me on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. That's where you can submit questions for any future mailbag episode. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy your weekend and enjoy week 3.